ABC Radio Australia.
Deep sea mining. It's a controversial practice in the Pacific, with countries divided, as some call for a moratorium and others embrace it. But what about one of the region's closest neighbours and key partners? Australia, a country which says it sees the Pacific as family. Australia is yet to announce its stance on deep sea mining. And as Connor Graham, a research officer in the Pacific Islands program at the Lowy Institute, told Lucy Cooper, they have a responsibility to the region to find its voice.
I think it would be viewed a little bit hypocritical of Australia to take a really strong anti-deep sea mining stance, when historically we've been a country that's profited significantly off terrestrial mining. Our Pacific neighbours, who some of whom are hoping to benefit from deep sea mining, might see that as a little bit Australia talking out both sides of their mouth.
Australia's really always been focused on land-based mining, given we've got such rich mineral deposits in the country. So there really doesn't or ever been really a need to engage with deep sea mining and explore the potential there. But I do wonder, given Australia's position as a regional leader in the Pacific, does it have a responsibility to form a position?
Yeah, I think they do. What that position should be is the complex question. But I think the first step that Australia needs to do is facilitate some regional discussions, looking ahead at the Pacific Islands Forum later this year and the pre-COP31 events in Fiji, Palau and Tuvalu. I think it should be really high on our priority list to try to have these discussions as a region. And I think it's time for us to step in. As a country who isn't looking to profit from deep sea mining, but hasn't taken a stance as completely anti-deep sea mining either, we might be in a nice position to moderate those discussions.
Does Australia's lack of engagement in deep sea mining and its lack of decision making in terms of forming a position therefore create an opportunity for China in the Pacific? I mean, China is a country that has such global critical mineral dominance. So I do wonder, you know, what this kind of presents for China.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that it could leave a governance gap. You'll hear politicians use the dialogue of the Pacific family and Pacific kinship, and we like to think of ourselves as a member of that Pacific community and an important member of it. And so it would not be in our interest to just leave a governance gap with this issue that has potentially really widespread and long-lasting ramifications for the region, where, as you say, China, the US are also a very interested party, could step in and fill that gap.
Countries like the Cook Islands, Tonga, Kiribati, Nauru, they've all historically seen deep sea mining as really a path to economic resilience. And they've really engaged with, you know, the countries and the companies that feel this way as well and really explored this industry with them. While others like Palau, Fiji, Vanuatu, Samoa, Tuvalu and the Marshall Islands have all been part of that call for a moratorium. So I do wonder, you know, why is this an industry that has divided a region that we've always really seen very united on the environment front?
The Blue Pacific identity is sort of characterised by unity across the Pacific and environmental stewardship. So it is quite unique and existential that we're seeing this divide. But you can understand the reasons for it. You know, we mentioned before that Australia doesn't have to do deep sea mining. We've got a bounty of terrestrial resources that we can and do mine. If you're Nauru, that's not really the case. And so they see this as similar to what Australia does with their terrestrial mining. These are resources in their zones or in international waters where they sponsor other countries. And, you know, they could translate into things like schools and hospitals and well-being for people living within their nations. Now, on the flip side of that, the ocean is the Pacific's greatest shared resource. And the impacts of deep sea mining on that ocean, though they're not well-defined, they're going to be bad. They're going to be long-lasting. So that's why you've got the other Pacific nations calling for a moratorium until we understand those impacts and determine if there is a way to do deep sea mining that won't have such widespread negative ramifications for the Pacific Ocean.
In your opinion, what would a responsible Australian policy on deep sea mining look like? Is it a moratorium? Is it stricter regional coordination? Is it something else?
That's a great question. No, I don't think Australia's best strategic move is to call for a moratorium, but I equally don't think that their best strategic move is to say, yep, go ahead. I think what we need to do is facilitate discussions so that we don't have a scenario. The worst case scenario would be one country going, all right, we're going to start mining, to the chagrin of everyone else in the region. What we want to make sure that we maintain is a unified Pacific where we're making decisions as a group, and that environmental stewardship is really considered all the way through. And that may seem like a bit of a cop-out of an answer, but that's the complexity with this issue, you know. So, yes, we've got to balance our environmental obligations with our regional obligations and ensure that we maintain the Blue Pacific identity and the unity in the region as a priority.
And that there is Connor Graham, Research Officer in the Pacific Islands Program at the Lowy Institute. And just to note, a spokesperson for the Federal Resources Minister says Australia's position is clear that deep seabed mining should not go ahead without strong environmental regulations informed by the best available science.